This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later in the show, a conversation with comedian Rajiv Satyal about his career and his upcoming I Am tour. First up this afternoon, a new program's underway in Cincinnati that officials say will make city government faster, more effective, and smarter while saving money. And here to talk about how the newly created Office of Performance and Data Analytics was formed and how it's going to accomplish its mission of making the city's government more consistent and reliable, our director Chad Kenny and Cincinnati City Manager Harry Black. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Chad and Harry, thank you both for being here this afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Harry, start off by telling us why this new office was formed.
Well, you know, during the recruitment process that I underwent in terms of leading up to becoming city manager, I heard some constant themes throughout that entire process, that people wanted government to be, the city government to be more responsive, wanted there to be, enhanced customer service orientation, and they want things to work better, more effectively, you know, processes to be more efficient, i.e. faster, while meeting the needs of the public. And the only way to do that is you've got to set up mechanisms by which you can continuously assess your overall performance as an organization. In this case, our overall performance as a city government. We must continuously assess and ask questions as to how well are we doing the work? What do our customers think of the work that we're doing? Are we meeting their expectations? The best way, in my view, to do this is to establish a performance management program for a city like Cincinnati. And that is what we have been able to successfully do.
Chad, this sounds like a pretty tall order. So how is all this going to work?
So it's been going great so far. I think, you know, the key is Harry has set the vision for the office. So, you know, everyone knows that this is important to the city manager, and that really creates the space to be able to put this program together. So since getting here in November, we've established the office. So we've designed and built the facility. We've established performance agreements and contracts with each of the department heads. We just launched our first Cincy Stat sessions in the past few weeks. We were regularly meeting with departments. And we just got through our second innovation lab where we are getting folks in the room to look at processes and try and streamline those processes. So when you ask how's it going to work, it's been working great so far, and I think primarily that's because the city manager has made it clear that this is a priority.
How many people are working in this office, Chad?
So it's myself and two full-time analysts, and then we're supplementing with a couple interns throughout the year.
Now you're using Cincy Stats. Is that the name of it?
Correct. So that's okay. The name of one of the programs that's people hear Cincy Stat, they think it's a tech program or a software.
Right, that's what I would think too.
Right. So Cincy Stat's really one of the key sort of initiatives of this office, where we're regularly bringing in department leadership in front of Harry, the city manager, and his panel to discuss performance. And we use data to do that. We use some analysis software to do that. But really, Cincy Stat is the name for the process itself.
How important, Harry, is all this tracking, all this data tracking, and all this accountability?
Again, we must continuously assess what we're doing, how we're doing it, not only internally, but finding ways in which we can seek feedback from our customers if we're going to get better, if we're going to deliver the most effective service. We want our customers to have the best customer experience possible. In order to do that, we must have accountability measures in place. We need to be able to measure our activity. We need to be able to have accountability mencanisms in place. And Cincy Stat is one of those accountability mechanisms where we're constantly asking questions, we're measuring performance, and we are constructively and collaboratively following up.
Chad, you were using this process when you were in Baltimore. What are some examples of how it worked there?
Sure. So piggybacking off of Harry, a lot of it's focused on improving the quality of customer service. So consistently and constantly looking at service requests such as, you know, the solid waste crews missed a pickup, or potholes taking particularly long to fill. If there's street lights out and doesn't look like we're being responsive on those requests. So the way it would work there is and it's going to work here is we analyze that, we dig in, and we use the CincyStats session to sort of drill down and figure out what the root cause of that problem is. And then we leave that session with follow-up items that they then come back and report on at the next session. So it's like, here, you know, we weren't filling these potholes fast enough. You know, we mapped it and shows that maybe this particular area of the city is the issue. So your follow-up is to sort of focus on those crews, come back, we look at the new data, and it's like, it looks like it's gotten better. So that's sort of how the process works overall. So in Baltimore, it was all about improving customer service, and that's our primary focus here, especially in the beginning.
How do you make the, how do you balance between becoming more effective and more efficient while improving the services?
Yeah, it's a great question. We talk about that a lot in the office. You know, I think the first step is just get a better understanding of what we do and how we do it. And I think if that's what the CincyStats sessions really allow us to do. And if you're doing that, it sort of comes naturally. You'll find opportunities where, you know, we're just not being efficient, where if we improve our efficiency there, the quality goes up as well. So
you were talking about the innovation lab being part of the whole process. Can you give me a little more detail about how an innovation lab works?
Yeah. So again, this is part of Harry's sort of comprehensive vision for the program. CincyStats sessions are sort of performance leadership sessions with department leadership. The innovation lab is where we get, say, 15 to 20 frontline folks who all touch a process, typically a cross-departmental process, that we've identified as either they've identified or we've identified as not working as efficiently as it could. We know it could be better, but we don't know exactly how to make it better. So we park that problem in the innovation lab. We spend, you know, 3 to 5 full days with this group. We have a facilitator help us map out how the current process works, identify where we think the problems are, design what it should look like in the future, and set a plan for getting there.
And to give you an example, the first process that's gone through the lab, which will probably be the most complex that will go through the lab, we looked at the permitting process, and we identified a particular type of project which we view as being one of the most complex projects. It's a historic renovation. And that was a restaurant in Over the Rhine, a developer who wanted to build a restaurant at a historic designated facility. It took that developer 10 weeks to get a permit. But based on the innovation lab exercise and the efforts that came out of that, we've identified a way to reduce that 10-week process down to a 3 to 5 week process. So the idea is to streamline processes, basically taking out what's not necessary. If it's necessary, it's in. If it's not necessary, we need to identify it and we need to get rid of it because it's slowing down the process.
You know, permitting is always one of those areas that seems to be a sticky point for city government. And I think the city's made attempts in the past to improve this. So do you think you're really onto something right now for improving that whole process?
I'm very, very optimistic. I think what we're doing by way of looking at the processes, and we're also looking at the organization, and we're looking at the physical environment in which our permitting takes place. I believe that we have the necessary support at the top levels of government. We've got council support. We have the mayor's support, and obviously the city manager is behind it. And as long as that continues to be the case, we will be successful. We will hit the finish line, because what we've undertaken is of a, is a huge undertaking. It requires full cross the board commitment and, direction and, follow through. Because we have the level of executive support, I'm confident and optimistic that we will get to the finish line on this.
Yeah. And just to add to that, I think when you mentioned, you know, this has been done before, I think what makes us set up for success and why we're confident is that we can then take all these recommendations from all that work that came out of that session and then put it back into the CincyStat room where we're following up regularly saying, all right, here, you spent 4 days in a room, you came up with these recommendations. Here's sort of the general order for action. You know, where are you? And we get an update and then we come back 2 weeks and we get the next update. So I think that's the value of having this sort of comprehensive approach that Harry's laid out.
Chuck, can you tell us some more about a similar office in Baltimore? Can you tell us some more about the successes that you saw there and how those would translate to Cincinnati?
Yeah, I think, again, it goes back to the service request. So we've just started diving in here, but there's a lot to learn and improve typically about the customer service processes. So if someone would call in Baltimore, it was 311 and ask for a request. We discovered over time that a lot of the requests would be closed without the work actually being completed. And so my team, we embarked on a pretty detailed effort to go basically request by request and address those issues. And we went from just sort of sampling people who made requests after they were closed. We went from 50% rate where people said my issue is completed to over a 70% rate. And so I think, you know, again, we don't know yet exactly what the issues would be here with our customer service system, but I anticipate we'll run into similar ones, and that's where we'll start to see some success.
Just to give you an example, this is of a smaller scale, but this just sort of symbolizes the potential power of the Innovation Lab. Our second lean event that's been undertaken in the lab is involving utility bills. Actually, we're billed by Duke Energy, and we realized that they're currently sending bills to several hundred different points within the city. And the city's been charged late fees. You can imagine why, because you've got so much activity. So we put this in the lab, and we've basically, just as with the permitting process, we've identified a process by which we will be able to have one point of entry and thereby eliminate or eradicate the city receiving late charges, not because it's not able to pay the bill, but because administratively it's just so confusing. And we believe that this is going to save us, you know, between $150,000 to $175,000 a year in late fees. So this is just one really small example of what we can expect out of the Innovation Lab as well as CincySat. And Chad, you know, I know that in Baltimore, you all had numerous examples of how you were able to save the city money. Could you share with the group here a couple of those examples?
Yeah, one of the examples were streetlights. So we got a lot of complaints about the streetlights being out, and we weren't really sure if the utility and to some extent the transportation department were, you know, quickly replacing those lights. But we're getting charged for those. We're getting charged for that usage, whether or not the light is on. And so our team conducted a citywide street light survey with volunteers included, and we found about 1,300 street lights, about, you know, 40 to 50 volunteers this one evening that we went out, found about 1,300 to 2,500 street lights that were out of about 70,000 street lights. And that, you know, converts to a couple hundred thousand dollars a year when you look at how we're getting billed by streetlight. So, you know, if we're spending this money, we should be getting the service we're getting for it. And so that was one big example of what we worked on. Another big one is internally the fleet. I know the city manager's already set out a plan for our CAP plan for infrastructure. You know, we were wasting tons of maintenance money on vehicles that are 25 plus years old. So if we, you know, we did an analysis to show if we're replacing it on a quicker cycle, you know, actually the total cost goes down. And those are sort of the analysis that we can do that then allows the executives to put a plan in place to save money in the long term.
So it sounds like, Harry, what you're really doing is you're drilling down on every aspect of how the city runs itself.
I think that's the only way to really do this right. It's a lot of work, but we're up for it. I just view it as being very essential.
Now, do you have any idea? You're talking about $150,000 to $175,000 on these late fees. Any idea how much overall, how much total this is going to save the city, and how what kind of effect it's going to have on the city's budget?
It would represent another savings, basically. If you go back, you assume that this has been the case for maybe 10 years plus. So you add that up yourself, you know, we're going to stop that activity from happening that's generating that negative feature, which is having to pay late fees. But that's just one example of many that I believe that we will uncover, we will identify, we will fix, and, you know, not only making our processes more effective, but avoiding costs where we can avoid cost and generating some savings where we can generate savings. The primary objective is not to generate savings. That's a byproduct. The primary objective is to make government more effective and more responsive.
We'll continue our conversation about the city's Office of Performance, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, here to talk about how the newly created Office of Performance and Data Analytics was formed and how it's going to accomplish its mission of making the city's government more consistent and reliable. Our director, Chad Kenny, and Cincinnati City Manager, Harry Black. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. Email talk at wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Harry, how do you think this new office is going to enhance collaboration and coordination among the various different departments and elements of the city? Is there any concern that this could lead to finger pointing, or do you think this is just, is it going to improve things?
No, I think it's going to improve things. Just by way of example, the permitting exercise that I referenced earlier, we put about 20 to 25 people who touched this particular process in the same room, and many of them have never even seen each other before. They may have talked on the phone, but they've not even seen each other. I thought that was fascinating. So the Innovation Lab is going to allow, it's going to empower our workers at every level to be a part of the solutions development process. And I believe that's going to lead to greater morale. It's going to inspire people. It's going to re-energize people. And it's going to lead to greater ownership on the, at the individual level.
Chad, is public, or go ahead if you want to.
I was just going to add, and then on the CincyStat side, the city manager is getting a ton of productive FaceTime with his leadership team, and they know that they're there to solve problems and not point fingers. We're pretty explicit about that. So, just to add that note,
is public input going to play a big part of what this office does?
Yeah, I think so. I think in the beginning it's ad hoc, and like the permit was a. Permitting process was a primary focus because the city manager, the mayor, council was getting feedback from the public that we needed to focus on this. As we move forward, we'll more and more be sort of looking to get that feedback from everyday customers and residents of the city who are interacting with the city government. And we're big on if we get a email somebody complaining to us, we're big on making sure we respond and figure out what's going on and getting that to the right person. So.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation. Let's talk with Jane in Mount Adams. Hi, Jane.
Good afternoon. Hi, I just had a suggestion. I'd like to see what their comments are on it. When my husband and I are down in over the Rhine area, especially on Vine Street in Maine, we often think that if there were brighter streetlights, people might feel safer in that area. I'd like to hear if they have any thoughts on that. Thank you.
Thanks, Jane.
I think I think street lights are always interesting. I think that's a very good suggestion. And I will go back and ask some questions about, our probe, in terms of, to the degree that, our lights are shiny or duller. That's always a discussion in most cities. I know we had that discussion in Baltimore, actually, particularly when we went to, the new lights.
Correct. Yeah. I remember that was definitely a discussion. I think we can have that with the department as well.
It all gets into the type of light that you have and the design of it. And we moved from what kind of light to what other, the current light.
The halogen to the LED.
Yeah. Right. So the move now is to move to LED lights, which are more, energy efficient. But I think as a result of the energy efficiency elements, you lose some of the, fluorescence of the light itself. So that's a very common conversation in most local governments. And perhaps it's one that we should have here as well.
Yeah, Harry, with someone like Jane, what kind of suggestion do you have for going about getting the city's attention when you have a suggestion like this and for following up on it?
Send the city manager a letter. Just write to me and let me know what your thoughts are.
Okay.
Or send me an email.
Okay. Yeah. Easy as that?
It's that easy.
I think so.
Really, it is.
Okay.
Believe it or not.
I also think we want to, in our shop, we probably will want to add some sort of mechanism for that moving forward now that we're up and running.
One of the things that we are talking about and planning to do is we're we're in the process of redesigning the city's website. And I've asked the team to incorporate a two-way communications feature to the website, whereby we can sort of maybe do ad hoc surveys where let's say we throw 2 to 3 questions out to the public and they can respond back per the website what their thoughts are on what we're asking about in terms of learning about, you know, the things that we're doing, the things that they might like to see us do. And as Chad mentioned, there are some other ways, but clearly, if you communicate directly with me, I will get back to you. And if it's a good idea, I will definitely act on it.
419-7100 to join the conversation. Let's talk with Carl in Pleasant Ridge. Hi, Carl.
Hi. My question is, I'm not sure that it directly applies, but when you're talking about savings, you know, and hidden costs and so forth, I think the condition of our streets, the surface paving costs the citizens a lot of money in car damage. You know, that's kind of a hidden cost that we're damaging our cars on a daily basis because our streets are in terrible condition. I wonder if you could just address that issue. Thank you. And I can take my answer off the air.
Thank you, Carl.
That's a great question. And I'll answer it two ways. The first way is that if there is damage, I know that we have a program in place where citizens who feel as though some damage has occurred to their vehicle because of the condition of the streets, that they can engage this process and receive some level of reimbursement. The second part about that is, as you may or may not be aware, as a part of the fiscal year 16 and fiscal year 2017 budgets that I recommended to the mayor and city council, we have a significant initiative underway, or that we would like to get underway, which is our capital acceleration plan. In essence, right now, the city paves or repaves about 110 lane miles of street per year. We currently are doing zero preventative maintenance on our streets. This plan that I'm recommending, and hopefully the council will support, will not only allow us to continue to repave 110 lane miles, but will allow us to add an additional 60 lane miles a year to get us to about 170 lane miles a year of repaving. And it will allow us to do preventive maintenance on another 80 lane miles a year where there is no preventive maintenance today. So we're focused on that. We know that this is an issue. We know that if we don't deal with our transportation infrastructure, particularly our roads, today, in 5 to 8 years, the cost will be astronomical in terms of the delay.
We're talking with Cincinnati City Manager Harry Black and Chad Kenny, the director of the city's Office of Performance and Data Analytics. Thanks to Ann Topmiller-Smith for listening to 91.7 WVXU today. And, you know, we're talking about potholes with the caller, and that's something that everybody cares about. It's one of those quality of life issues. Is that the kind of thing that this office is going to help out with specifically?
Assuming that the council approves this recommended initiative, we will what I call stat it. We will put it in CincyStat, and it'll be a part of our Department of Transportation and Engineering stat meeting, whereby this would be an ongoing thing that we would follow up on from a project management standpoint. How many lane miles have we repaved? How many are remaining? How many lane miles have we provided preventive maintenance on? How many remain? And so it's just sort of a relentless and ongoing follow-up in terms of once the decisions have been made, monies have been allocated, contracts have been let, work has begun, then Chad and his group will basically run it down on a regular basis.
Right, now, yeah. There's a new City Hall mobile app, isn't there?
It's coming.
Yes. It's coming. Okay.
Yes. It's coming.
Not here yet, but you've got that in the office.
It's going
There's
to
an
be
existing fixed. One that they're upgrading. Correct.
Right. Okay. Right. We anticipate launching this new app, the city app, sometime within the next 30 days. I've seen a demo of it. It's fantastic. I think the public is going to really be pleased with this new attraction.
What are they going to be able to access on that app?
Any sort of, service request of any type, you'll be able to submit one. You'll be able to attach a picture of the issue. Let's say if it's a pothole, you'll be able to take a picture of it, attach it to your service request, send it in via your phone, via your laptop or your iPad or whatever you use. And then you'll be able to go back in and continuously get status reports as to what point of the process is it at. And then once it's complete, you'll receive an email alert that it's done. And this will allow you to track any kind of request. It could be a health inspection related request. It could be environmental. It could be anything. It'll be very intuitive, very user friendly. We're looking forward to it.
Do you ever see a point, Harry, where this new Office of Performance can be used as a means of tackling social issues that the city faces?
I think that it's an office that can be used for a variety of things. I think that its utility is endless. You know, as long as we know exactly what we want it to help us out with.
Chad, you know, you always hear this. It's a common theme, making government faster, making government more effective. You hear about that a lot from local government and leadership. So what makes this program different from all these others? And why do you think this is going to be successful?
Yeah, so good question. So I think two things. One, and I mentioned it before, but the fact that the city manager is fully invested. Everyone knows that this is priority and that he's got the support of the mayor and city council in doing this initiative. Executive buy-in is crucial in terms of our success, and we have it here. And then to what makes this different, I think it's the relentless follow-up nature of the program in that, you know, it's collaborative. We're looking to identify problems and come up with an action plan. But then we're relentless in making sure we follow up on that.
To add to that, you know, there are cities that have stat programs, but they don't have innovation labs. There are cities that have innovation labs, but they don't have stat programs. What we've been able to do here is quite remarkable. In short order, we've been able to stand up a comprehensive performance management program. We've, as Chad stated earlier, and it's all connected. Performance management agreements have been executed between myself and each one of my department heads. We have a performance management facility that has been stood up. The innovation lab, the CincyStat program. That's what's unique about what we've been able to do here in Cincinnati. We've put in place a comprehensive suite of performance management tools, unlike any other place in the country.
Yeah, comprehensive and extensive, and I would say. Yeah.
That's the difference. That's the unique factor of what we've been able to establish here in Cincinnati.
Last question, Harry. You, the mayor and the police chief, are going to be announcing a crime reduction plan tomorrow to deal with the city's recent spike in violence. Anything you can tell us ahead of time?
It's a plan. Again, in May of each year, historically, the city and most cities experiences a spike in crime. I think what got us all alarmed this year is that it was significantly higher than normal. But the efforts that we've already have put in place, we're already seeing we're stabilizing back to normal levels over the past 2 weeks, which is encouraging. Tomorrow, I've asked the chief to convene and to confer with his leadership team and to make recommendations in terms of other things that we can do from a strategic standpoint to make certain that the city is as safe as possible throughout the summer. And I sat down with the plan yesterday. All in all, I'm satisfied with it. I've asked them to make a few tweaks or, you know, again, what I've made very clear to him too is that I'm not the police chief. I'm not hired to be the police chief, so I'm not going to tell you how to do your job because you are best suited to do that. We talk about things from a strategic standpoint, from a thought-provoking standpoint. I may make recommendations. The meeting went well, and the press event scheduled for tomorrow is where we'll sort of share the plan with the public, and that'll be 10 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Harry and Chad, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you.
Cincinnati City Manager Harry Black and Chad Kenny, the director of the city's Office of Performance and Data Analytics. Coming up, we'll have a conversation with Rajiv Satyal, a former P&G marketer turned comedian. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.